Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. In his message titled, Table for One, Reverend David Williams tells us that we usually rush everything, which makes it hard to savor food, events, and people. When we rush, we miss out on the flavors of life. Slow down and sit with others. Give yourself the time to really get to know them. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
We are busy people. We are people who rush about from moment to moment and place to place and thing to thing, filled with demands and pressures that we manage with our devices and our calendars and our schedules. And as we chase around after our life, it's very easy in the rush and busyness of it to find ourselves never having a moment where we can just sit and be with another, never having moments where we can settle down and really be present for the people with us, because we are always somewhere else, thinking about the next thing, thinking about the next moment, thinking about the next, the next, the next. In the rush of that life, where do we find really and truly a place to be with others? It's one of the challenges of our society, the place in which we live, and it has an effect on our souls, an effect that we need to confess as we come into God's presence now. So, if you will, join with me in praying the prayer of confession that's found in our bulletin. Let's pray it together. Loving, merciful God, where are our common places? Where are those places we share time and grace together? Everything we encounter now is designed just for us, but us alone. The world sparkles and shimmers as algorithms show us the things they blindly know we must like. We whittle down our friends until we have only just exactly those people who will say and do only those things we agree with. We craft a life that is just only exactly ever what we want, and to our greatest surprise, find that it does not make us happier. When, then, in this world made just for our hunger, can we find a place to sit and listen and laugh and grow? Help us, Lord, because we seem to have forgotten. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Luke's gospel. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. You can follow along on page 90 of your pew New Testament. Let's listen for God's word. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? He asked them, What things? They replied, The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. Then Jesus said to them, Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead, as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Meals are important things. And I think in the rush and the bustle of our culture, it is easy to forget that. Easy to blast right on past it. Sharing a meal was always a part of family life. When it was just Rach and I, it was easy enough to pull off. We'd just coordinate a time when it was the two of us. And when the kids were little, it was just as easy because you could plop them in a booster seat or a high chair and they kind of had to stay put because there were straps. You know, like, you're staying put. And then there'd be a captive audience and we would feed them. And we'd be together. And lately it feels like it's a little harder. As the kids got older and traveled, suddenly our table is sparser. We're down one. Our table is always in missing man formation. And late evenings of work, more often than not, seem to collide with the endless bustle of high school and the siren song of maybe not sitting down to eat with mom and dad because you could go eat with your girlfriend instead. And for some reason, that's a preferable choice. I don't know. I don't know why that. Actually, I remember exactly why that's why you do it. And so dinner together happens with less frequency. And on just such a night, a couple of weeks ago, my wife had an evening board meeting and my son had a date night, and so that meant it was Friday night and I was on my own for dinner. This is not an uncommon occurrence, and I think it happens and will happen more, especially once the boys are off to college. I have a busy wife, a very busy, busy wife. And so our house is prepared in anticipation of those moments when it's just me. It's well stocked with what our family calls Insta-food. Insta-food. It's the prepackaged, ready in 5 minutes or less kind of meal that is the fastest way to nutrient ingestion. We have rows of canned vegetable soup, giant industrial-sized packages of microwave burritos, a freezer stocked with plastic bags full of Trader Joe calories, ready to go in a heartbeat. If you stir it up, it almost looks like a home-cooked meal, almost. But that night, when the family was away, I wasn't in the mood for it. I decided I was going to go walk to eat, which I will on occasion do when I am treating myself, but treating oneself means something different when one has thrifty Scots blood. And so my destination, walkable, was not one of the fancier establishments that pepper Annandale, not one of the many bustling Korean restaurants that fill every other storefront. I was treating myself, and that means Burger King. I'm drawn in by the lure of their veggie burger, which just so happens to be exactly the same kind of veggie burger that I keep stocked in my fridge, only I am paying for the privilege of someone else putting it in the microwave, which is the treat. I get that veggie burger plus a wan bun speckled with objects that I hope are sesame seeds. It comes with flaccid pale tomatoes, a pickle or three, a smattering of onion, and a splut of mayo. I think splut is the official term for discrete units of mayonnaise. Check the Mayonnaise Council website for details. And a hunk of lettuce that is crisp in the same way that Madonna is still young and hip. It's trying to be crisp, it really is, and you have to appreciate the effort. Add to that a side of deep-fried tuber carbohydrates with Dead Sea levels of salt and a giant cup of carbonated-colored caffeine fluid. How could I resist the lure of such a meal? Well, seriously, I actually kind of like it. So I walk to the Burger King just about a mile, and our local Burger King has seen better days. I used to take the boys there for lunches back when they were little. And it's worn now. It hasn't changed much since then. The seats worn, faded, a little rough around the edges, and the clientele tends to be the same way, worn and faded and a little rough around the edges, particularly the sparse dinner crowd for whom Burger King on a Friday night is a treat. That night, the smattering of tables, only a smattering were occupied, and almost all of them when I came in just had one person sitting, sort of equidistant from each other, sort of trying to find exactly the even amount of space so no one's too close to anyone else. There was an unshaven guy, young man, working on his laptop, which, being Burger King, there was only one plug available, and it was in the ceiling for hooking up the vacuum, so it's like you've got this tendril of a cord snaking up as he worked on whatever he was working on, and a single middle-aged Asian man eating quickly, sitting so he's looking out the window and not towards anyone else. There was an elderly man and his caregiver sitting silently together, she looking at her phone and him coughing over and over again, deep and rasping. And a homeless man, his clothes and over-heavy mass, nursing the small soda that let him sit there. It was all people eating in a hurry. And though we were all in the same room, we were all eating alone. As it is so easy to do in our disjointed, emotionally distant, endlessly rushing culture. We eat too often without pleasure, without purpose, without company, rushing from one place to another, surrounded by nameless strangers, a blur of faces. And in that, our culture shares, I think, a little bit of the same blindness of the two disciples who walked along that road to Emmaus. And these guys, these disciples, these were not the A-team of the apostolic world. They were not. They were just a couple of random Jesus followers, no different from you or I, minor leaguers, people who hadn't quite made the 12. We know one of their names. It's a guy named Cleopas, whose entire claim to fame is appearing in this story. That's all we get. We know nothing else about him. And then he's got a friend, another disciple whose name is, we have no idea. And they are journeying together to Emmaus. And it's good they knew where they were going because, honestly, no one else does. Emmaus, we hear in the text, is 7 miles from Jerusalem, although there's some other versions of the text that say it was 20 miles from Jerusalem. But whichever way, there's a minor problem for biblical scholars, which is that when you go back to the historical record, there wasn't any community in walking distance of Jerusalem called Emmaus. There was not one. It means warm well in the Hebrew. So somewhere there was a well. Maybe it was shallow. There was a lot of sun went into it. So we got these two travelers who we don't know. And they're going to a place that we're not sure of, but honestly, it doesn't matter, as Luke tells us the story, because we get the point. We feel the dust of the road and the confusion in them as they walk. And we listen as we walk along. They are journeying, two strangers, people we don't know, and they are joined by another stranger, a third. Luke lets us know who it is, just so we won't be confused. It's Jesus. Jesus. And this new stranger asks them, you know, why the long faces? Why so sad? And they talk about what they have experienced. Really, you don't know what's happened with Jesus? We have heard. We knew him as this possibility, as this hope to transform all of our people. This may be maybe Messiah, certainly a prophet. We had this possible hope, but then he died. And we've been hearing stories, you know, the women, they've been coming. They said something was going on, but we checked and we didn't see anything, so nothing could possibly have happened. You know, so we're not going to actually listen to them. And so something weird's going on. You haven't heard about that? They ask him. This irritates him for some reason. And so he proceeds to talk to them about their Jesus in a way that shows he knows who he was rather more intimately than they did. And they walk with him and they finally reach this place of the warm well. They reach Emmaus, wherever they might have been. And they're at their destination and he's walking on, ready to go elsewhere. And they beg him, no, don't. Stay with us. Stay and share a meal. Stay with us for the evening. Don't travel on. And in that moment, to him, they are hospitable. And the stranger, this strange Jesus walking with them, does stay, invited to that most fundamental of human sharings, table together. And it's dinner, and the stranger breaks bread. And suddenly we are back at that moment, that memory captured by Luke's gospel just a few chapters previous, Luke 22, verse 19. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said to them, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That is the echo we, as the hearers of this story, are meant to hear. And that is the moment in which those two disciples, the minor leaguers, suddenly see him differently. They are shaken by the act of being at table with Jesus, and their perceptions are changed and they realize who is with them. He is made known to them, says Luke, in the breaking of the bread. And Luke says that a couple of times, just in case we miss it, just in case we miss the point. He had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. For both ancient readers and us now, it is a reminder that getting to know Jesus is as deep and intimate as sharing a meal and a table, where you are taking time to do that fundamentally human thing together. A thing that we in our culture of rush and busyness easily forget. As I sat in that Burger King, noodling compulsively on my phone as I ingested my industrially produced calories, I think I had forgotten that. But that evening, that Friday night, there was a voice from behind me as I sat and ate, the homeless man suddenly a shadow at my shoulder, asking me with a practiced mumble, hey, maybe I could spare a dollar. Just something, something from the dollar meal menu. And so I thought for a moment and quickly silenced the voice of my thrifty inner Scotsman. It's like, it's another dollar, spend another dollar. And so I said, sure, absolutely. But don't go dollar menu. I was going crazy. It's Burger King. It's Burger King. Get whatever you want. And so this surprised him. See his eyes light up. Jackpot. And we ordered together. I went up and ordered with him, and he got the triple Whopper with cheese, which seemed, as I looked at it, to come with slightly more than 3 spluts of mayo. And as he went back to his seat off in the corner, equidistant from everyone else, I said, hey, mind if I sit with you? Can we eat together? And this surprised him more than the offer to move off the dollar menu. And he said, sure, take a load off. And I extended my hand as I sat, and I told him my name. And he told me his was Keith. And I sat with Keith. And we talked, and we ate, and he talked a lot about sports ball at first, because that's what men do when they have no idea how to open a conversation. And then we briefly talked about politics, which I discovered quickly we did not share at all, and chose to change the topic to family and where he was living and ask questions about who he was. And when I got up to walk home, we were no longer strangers. Taking the time to break bread with others does that. And we are never sure, ever sure, when that stranger is the Christ among us. Take the time. Break the bread. And let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It's so easy to rush absolutely everything. To bustle swiftly from moment to moment, to not savor the people in whose presence you stand, to not even taste the food before it's in your stomach. The faster we go, the more productive we are, the more we get done, and the better we feel. And none of it, not for a moment, seems to matter, because we're always thinking the next thing, always rushing, rushing, rushing. None of the savor and flavor of life staying with us, because we don't give it the time. It's easy to live like that. We consume more if we live like that. And we're supposed to consume more, as much as we possibly can. But as we listen to that story from Luke this morning, we are reminded that there is a time to stop and a time to sit and to be at table and to break bread with others, to slow down and to let the taste of the bread and the knowledge of whom we are with sink in. If it had not been for that moment, Cleopas and the guy whose name we don't know would never have realized that the stranger they were with was Jesus. We are asked to slow down just a little bit. Give ourselves the space to see the people we are really with. So take that time if you can this week. Find those places to sit and be hospitable in the breaking of bread or the sharing of a word and the sharing of a story with another. Give yourself space to see how Christ might be at work and alive in that person. That's an important part of this journey we are on together. So this week, remember to take that time for another and see Christ in them. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today and tomorrow and our whole lives long. Amen.